share your needs too. And with MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. And that's a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. 866-88-BIBLE. That's 866-88-BIBLE. 866-88-BIBLE.
The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Welcome to the Bill Buckmaster Show, Tucson's most trusted voice for news information. As you can tell, this is not the voice of Bill Buckmaster. This is Ben Bueller Garcia, host of American Warrior Radio, heard Saturdays at noon here on KVOI, sitting in for Bill in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio while Bill enjoys a well-deserved Thanksgiving vacation. Because it is Thanksgiving tomorrow, we're going to be talking about things to be thankful for. And let's begin with something most of our listeners never consider when the subject comes up. Were you thankful for a warm shower this morning, or a shower at all? Were you thankful that you had breakfast, or are now having lunch, and are able to look forward to a feast tomorrow with friends and family? Were you thankful that you have a job and a vehicle to get there? This, for some in our community, is a daily issue. They are the most vulnerable of our homeless population, relegated to trying to survive in hiding because they are not yet of legal age. Homeless teens and street kids. Joining us here on the Buckmaster Show for our first segment and second segment, Kim Sisson, Executive Director of the Tucson Chapter of Stand Up for Kids. She also sits on their National Board of Directors. Kim, welcome to the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you, Ben. It's good to be here.
Speak up. Don't be shy.
I'm not shy.
Okay.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Kim, you and I, you know, I don't need to brief myself on this project. I'm quite familiar with the issue, and I'll never forget. I mean, people don't think, when they think about the homeless, they don't consider 15, 12,
no.
8-year-olds
no.
who are trying to live on the streets of Tucson or many other cities around the country.
Absolutely not. I mean, they're really hard to find. I mean, even I, who know who to look for, if they don't want to be found, I'm not going to find them. So they do a very good job blending in. They don't want to be seen. They don't want to be found because they're supposed to be somewhere. And it's embarrassing to say there's nobody that wants you.
Would you, and I know it's very hard to say because of precisely what you just mentioned, mm-hmm. Kim, if you could give us a guess or an estimate of how many homeless teens, 18 and younger, are on the streets of Tucson during our quote-unquote season. You know, when they're here.
Well, it's really difficult to estimate because, like I said, they don't want to be counted. They are the most vulnerable. Even when we will try to get them into some services. Most of the kids that we're working with are not in any services, and so they're not counted. I can tell you, in the last 3 years, the names that I've put in my computer total 800, and
wow.
That's a lot of kids, and that's a small part of Tucson.
Now, Stand Up for Kids is the nation's largest all-volunteer organization working with homeless teens and street kids. The Tucson chapter has been active for, gosh, I don't know how long.
2004, I think,
okay.
is when they opened. I've been doing it now 11 and a half years, so we've been around a while.
And what really is the distinction, Kim? I mean, I guess, and I don't, you know, today's show, we have a lot. You and I and, mm-hmm. and probably everybody here in the station, we may be having a rough year, a good year, we don't know, but
right.
we still have a lot to be thankful for. And when I introduce the topic, I think that's what people, at this time of year, they need to pause and mm-hmm. be thankful for what they have. But I also wanted them to think about folks that don't have even the most basic needs. I mean, the idea that I might be 14 years old, I don't know where I'm going to eat. I don't know where I'm going to sleep. I don't
yeah.
know if I can be safe.
That's right. And that safety is a big part of it. I think one thing that we don't think about as we're getting ready for this season, because we go from, you know, from holiday to holiday, and we're all looking forward to seeing family and celebrating and shopping and all those things that everybody does, it's really difficult for these kids. I have had multiple kids say, it doesn't matter if I live or die. Nobody's going to come out and look for me. I have had kids say, I don't have anywhere I have to be. You know, where everybody's getting dressed and getting ready to go out and go shopping and go see their family, they're sitting there and it's 10 times harder because they know there isn't anywhere they can show up that they're going to be welcomed and wanted.
Kim, what in the years you've been doing this, I'm guessing you've come across hundreds, if not thousands, of these young people. Mm-hmm. And are there some common themes you see? I mean, beyond the practical reality of staying warm, staying fed, right, staying right, safe, are there other themes? It just discourages me to hear you say that nobody cares. Nobody cares that I'm on the street. Nobody's looking mm-hmm. for me,
right,
except for bad guys, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the probably, we a lot of times we're asking for food and socks and hygiene and money and all those things. And those are really, really important, because without that, we can't go out and do what we do. But at the same time, I think one of the things that is the most important that we do is we listen to them. We spend time to them. We are excited to see them. We remember their name. So if you can imagine, the only thing to look forward to in your week is maybe a couple times you'll run into somebody that's actually coming out and caring about you. Mm-hmm. And that's as good as it gets right now.
One of the things that excites me about Stand Up for Kids is its business model. It is mm-hmm. a nonprofit. Folks can find out more standupforkids.org, but it is all volunteer.
It is.
Every chapter around the country, no one gets paid. You don't have, by design, all the resources are going to help the kids,
right,
correct?
Right. We have a few chapters in other parts of the country that are paid. Tucson, though, is 100% unpaid. And so all of our money goes directly to the kids. Even our donations, if it's not something we're going to use in a month or two, then we're going to get it to an organization that will use it that's serving the same population or serving a similar population. One important thing to note, too, is we have raised our age up to 24. And the reason we did that is because if you're living in survival mode, you're not maturing in the same way. You're not learning the things that we take for granted every day. We know that if you open mayonnaise, now you got to put it in the refrigerator. You know, if you, things like that. And they don't know those common basic things. And they feel like they should. That's the other part that I've learned in the last few years, is they look at everything other people are doing and they think there's something wrong with them because they don't know how to do it. And the reality is nobody's shown them how to do it. And we all learned from somebody. You know, we had examples. We had loving parents. We had people that cared about us that taught us those things. And when you're trying to survive in just the basic little things, if you can imagine your self-esteem just mm-hmm. is chipped away at constantly.
You know, that's another reason, another thing we have to be thankful for is that we were taught.
Yeah.
And I want to emphasize for our listeners out there, because so often I find that it is hard for, and I use the quotation fingers, normal folks to mm-hmm. grasp this, because we've got no point of reference whatsoever.
Right.
And this idea that no one ever taught me that you have to put mayonnaise back in the fridge. I mean, the idea of mm-hmm. going and opening a bank account,
yeah,
terrifying.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, even if getting maybe them into temporary housing and the basics of how to clean, how to cook without burning the place down.
Absolutely.
All that sort of stuff.
Well, and even little things like once you get into housing, you know, we think, well, we'll just create a housing situation and we'll put them in a housing. That's not enough, because
right,
like you said, you have to learn how to do all these little things. And it's very overwhelming. You know, if you've been kind of surviving in the street, now you're in this apartment. There's no TV, there's no radio, you don't have any stuff yet, it's silent, and everything kind of closes in on you. And it's little things like, you know what, you can take a walk. It's like, what? Yeah, you can take a walk and go home, that just somebody needs to help you through that.
Well, Kim, when we come back after the break, I want to talk a little bit more about what those of us out there who have things to be mm-hmm. thankful for can help with this organization. Again, the website is standupforkids.org. You're not just looking for, I want to talk about some of the details,
yeah,
because sometimes folks think about, well, you think about the food in your belly, but just the idea of a pair of clean, warm socks,
absolutely,
without holes in them.
Absolutely.
Never crosses our mind,
yeah,
most of
yeah,
us, but how
yeah,
important that is out there on the street. But you're also looking for volunteers, aren't you?
You
mentioned there's no paid staff.
Nope, nothing's paid. There is a training process, and there is obviously a background check that's involved.
Mm-hmm.
But we do need volunteers. We need volunteers to go into the street. We need volunteers to run our website and keep social media on top of that. We need volunteers to do fundraising for us. Simple projects, big projects. We're really open to anyone that wants to help these kids. We really love these kids. That helps us to continue to go out and fight for them.
So again, folks, and think about it when we come back. So food, Clothing. Now, when let's talk about food. They can't just show up with a ham sandwich, right?
It has to be non-perishable food items, easy to open. You know, a can of ravioli, some granola bars. We really need twin blankets this year that are soft and kind of compact. It's getting cold out there. Hoodies that are dark colored. Those are great things to have.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's, again, one of those things we don't think about. We all have can openers at home.
Mm-hmm,
and
exactly.
I can't imagine the worst thing than giving someone on the street a can of food and they've got no way to...
Absolutely.
No way to open it. Kim, stick around. We'll come back and talk more about that. This portion of the Buckmaster Show was presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. It's not too late to get your pies for Thanksgiving. Cherry, apple, blueberry, pecan, and of course the traditional pumpkin. They're open today until 5 on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Don't forget to also pick up some fresh baked rolls and their breads too for your Thanksgiving table. Visit monasdanishbakery.com or phone in your order to 579-1959. Don't forget the Danish Kringles. Mona's is open for lunch right now. You can find the link to Mona's at thebuckmastershow.com. This is your guest host, Ben Bueller Garcia. Back with more from Kim Sisson and Stand Up for Kids. You're listening to 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Take 5 minutes to give us your input on regional transportation matters. The Regional Transportation Authority's 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee prepared draft guiding principles to consider as they prepare to develop the next RTA plan. The survey is available between mid-November and mid-December. To take the survey or to sign up to receive RTA notices, please visit www.rtamobility.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show here in the Green Things Socolo Village studio. Since 1970, Green Things has been the go-to place for your gardening needs. Now the Green Things 13-acre site is also home to Socolo Village and all those fine Mexican and Latin American imports. Green Things on River Road, just west of Brandy Fenton Park, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Why not stop by this season and pick up some of their beautiful homegrown holiday poinsettias for your celebration. Hi, welcome back. This is Ben Bueller Garcia, regularly hosting American Warrior Radio on the weekends here at KVOI, sitting in for Bill. We're talking about homeless teens and street kids with Kim Sisson, the executive director of the Tucson chapter and also a member of the National Board of Stand Up for Kids. Kim, I don't want to be too harsh. This is family radio, but it's important to drive this home because, yeah, again, most of us spend 7 days a week, mm-hmm, 24 hours a day, and we don't think of, and yeah, we've got worries. We got, mm-hmm, bills to pay. Some folks may be having, mm-hmm, health issues, but just the idea of really, and I think you touched on it before, Kim, you say, where, you know, my day is going from nowhere to nothing, or, mm-hmm, I can't remember exactly how you put it. Mm-hmm. When we talk about the homeless in Tucson, because it is a big issue here, You told me that you're talking to folks just about being kind.
Yeah, and absolutely.
But tell us more about that.
I think that it's really important to remember that because we have so many homeless youth in our town, if you're going to the grocery store, if you're going to the mall, you're passing them. So be kind to people. I speak to a lot of youth groups, and that's what I tell them. If you're in school, you're seeing homeless kids. So be kind to people. Don't judge them. Don't think that you know what they're going through. We have a real tendency to think, label our youth population that's in the street as being delinquent or just bad-tempered, or they don't want to follow rules. And they might say that they don't want to follow rules, but we have to ask, what are those rules? Because a lot of these kids are not coming from safe families. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of these kids are in the street because they feel like it's safer than they came from. One of the things that I thought years ago was, how many kids or how many adults my own kids come in contact with throughout the years. And if you can imagine these kids that finally eventually turn to the streets to live, how many adults they have come in contact with prior to that and were not heard or not seen and not helped. And I'm not saying that you know, they're completely innocent in all situations, but it's easy to turn violent when you think nobody cares about you. It's easy to break the law if you can't survive and you're not being taken care of. And so what we have to really start with is, you matter and you're worth, mm-hmm, something. And being kind to them and listening to them and trying to figure out where they're coming from. I've talked to some pretty hardened guys that are older, and they don't feel like anybody cares about them. So where does that put you, and why does anything matter if you don't think you matter, you know?
You know, Kim, one of the most important things I ever learned, it might have been through Stand Up for Kids, is so often people are very uncomfortable when, mm-hmm, approached, or when, and I don't want to use the word confronted. Let's just say when approached,
absolutely,
by someone who they're not sure about, they might look a little off, they might,
right,
you know, they might smell a little weird. And you don't have to give them money. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do anything. But if you just make eye contact,
absolutely,
if you do nothing but acknowledge there's another human being standing there and give them that little modicum of respect, amazing.
Absolutely. It makes a huge difference. It makes an absolutely huge difference, because every time we turn away, every time we don't look at them, every time we don't care about how they're feeling, we make them feel that much worse. We're confirming what they already think about themselves is essentially what we're doing.
Sue has called the Bill Buckmaster Show, 790-2040. Sue, you want to comment on the issue?
Yes. I would like to know how many of these kids are runaways or lost children from foster care.
I don't have the actual figures, but I would say a lot. Most of the kids that we meet on the street are either, and you have to remember, running away from what? You know, if they're running away from an unhealthy situation, most, yeah, of them are not looking to have this exciting life out there, that they're leaving something that actually is dangerous for them. Foster care system, there are a lot of kids that have come through the foster care system. Many, many, many,
yeah,
kids.
Yeah, that mm-hmm, are on the street.
Absolutely.
This is so heartbreaking for me.
Mm-hmm.
What about these... I mean, to fight really hard so that kids can be comfortable living on the street just doesn't seem right to me.
Exactly.
There are buildings. There are empty buildings, empty schools that could be converted.
Thank you, Susan. Susan, that has been my I've been screaming that for a couple of years now.
Yes. I think that the schools are losing students because CPS/DCS, they sees between 14 to 20,000 children a year in Arizona.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, there's no way to get kids from, when kids are in foster care and they're going from group home to group home to group home, they don't go to school.
Yeah.
There's no way to keep them in school.
Yep.
So let's use the schools. Let's use the empty schools. Let's convert them into housing for kids. I mean, because the outcomes for these children are just horrific.
So,
Tell me the name of your organization again.
So it's Stand Up for Kids. You can find out more at standupforkids.org. And thanks for calling the Buckmaster Show. We appreciate that. And I don't know, Kim, if that was arranged, but it was certainly
it was not arranged.
One of the before we get to that though, in the time that I was volunteering with your organization, which is about a decade, I never once met a single young person on the street who wanted to be there.
Right.
And I think that's the misconception. These are not delinquents who just say, "Hey, I'm going to take off and go for a joyride in Kansas," you know, for 2 weeks. You're right. In most cases, they're running from a city. As horrible as it is trying to live under a bridge somewhere, it's better than what they're running away from.
Well, and we also have generational kids out there that have been out there with their families. Their families were homeless. They're homeless now. And hopefully we can get them off the street before they start their own families.
And that's the way they've been programmed.
Right,
that's the way
exactly.
They've been coded.
Exactly. But the whole building thing, I totally agree. That's one of my biggest frustrations is walking around the town and seeing empty buildings and knowing we have kids living in the street and knowing that they don't have anywhere to sleep. And it's a process. You know, we've been working really hard to try to get a drop-in center that will eventually be housing for them. But, you know, unfortunately, not a lot of people want homeless kids in their neighborhood. And it's a really difficult thing to find. Like I said, we're all 100% volunteer, so we're not getting paid to do this. We put in a ton of hours, but we really rely on the generous support of the community and people saying, "Hey, I've got a building. Let's talk about this," or I can fund you. So, you know, that's a really important piece of it.
Folks, and that's exactly what we're trying to get at here on this pre-Thanksgiving special. If you can help, and part of that help might be, you know, I know someplace where there's a facility, go ahead and send them a message, tucson@standupforkids.org, address it to Kim, and they'll make sure they get in the right hands. Just before we take this next call, Kim, I want to preface this with a little something. In the time, and like you mentioned at the opening show, and after I volunteer with the organization, I'd be willing to bet that you could drop me in any city in the country and within an hour, I could find you homeless kids and teens.
Absolutely.
And the challenge and one thing that your organization is very cautious about, though, is their security and the confidentiality. And, you don't tell people where you go and where you're looking for these kids. And the problem with that is because if we can find them, bad guys can find them, too. So, Kay, you called, want to talk to Kim about Stand Up for Kids and the problem and the challenge of human trafficking.
And sex trafficking, because I'm wondering if you're finding some of these kids have been victims and have been able to escape, or what kind of stories are you hearing about those issues?
It's a huge issue in Tucson. We do have some groups that are working specifically with that, and we do everything we can in any way to protect the kids. One of the difficulties I will tell you, Kay, is that a lot of young people, if they're trying to survive, don't recognize sex trafficking. They think this is the better option than being raped, is to choose to do this for money. And so that is something that we're fighting against every single day. When you get so low that that's what you have to do to survive, it's really hard to even convince them that how damaging this really is to them.
And thanks for your call to the Buckmaster Show, Kay, and Kim, thanks for that answer. It's a tough subject to bring up, but that's the reality for these young people out there. And again, it emphasizes how we have so much to be thankful for, most of us, just with the basics. Mm-hmm. About a minute and a half left, Kim. Again, what do you need? How can folks help? It'd be great to have somebody donate a building.
A building would be awesome. A building would make my whole year.
Get you a dollar a year lease somewhere.
Somewhere.
So if you know about that, folks, you can send them a note, tucson@standupforkids.org. Also, always warm clothing.
Yeah.
Hoodies, socks, coats, blankets.
Twin blankets, yeah. Some, you know, we do Christmas stockings for our kids, so small items that can go in Christmas stockings, gift cards to fast food stores, you know, hats, gloves, anything that's going to keep you warm, hand warmers, little camping stoves. I mean, really little, like the collapsible $6 ones, not a Coleman.
Right.
But anything that's, you know, that will keep them warm and give them a little bit comfort and let them know that we do care about them, that they do matter. That's the key.
And keep in mind small, because you make a good point. These folks, or these young people in most cases, they've got no place to leave their stuff.
They have to carry it with them.
They're carrying their life on their back.
Yeah.
Animals. One of the most touching things I ever saw is giving food to a homeless young man, mm-hmm. and he fed his dog before he fed himself.
We carry dog food with us for that reason. They will feed their dogs first. Those dogs are very well taken care of on the street because that's their companionship.
That's their protection.
That's their loyalty. That's their protection. Yeah, absolutely.
And frankly, going into this season, the practical reality is that's another little heater.
Absolutely.
To keep you warm out there, so.
The other thing that we always need are boxers, and that's for girls and boys. The girls kind of dress down on the street. It's safer. And so both sexes will wear boxers, and that's a hard thing to ask for.
Kim, thank you so much for your time today and for what you're doing for the kids. Again, folks, you can find out more at standupforkids.org. If you'd like to make a contribution, send a note to tucson@standupforkids.org.
Thank you very much, Ben.
This is Ben Bueller Garcia, host of American Warrior Radio, sitting in for Bill. We'll be right back. We'll be joined by Ted Maxwell, the president and CEO of the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. Stick around.
CBS News Update. Pre-Thanksgiving storms are hitting parts of the U.S. just as tens of millions of Americans are traveling for the holiday. This woman is shoveling with her son in Bloomington, Minnesota.
We woke up at 6 a.m. and he's been after me to shovel since we woke up.
CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
Giant Thanksgiving storms are pummeling roads across the U.S. and snarling air travel with thousands of delays and cancellations.
It's busy. There's delays all over the screen.
Rain and wind will bear down on parts of the east and west coasts as traffic hits its peak this afternoon, more than tripling drive times in Atlanta, New York, Los Angeles, Houston, and Boston.
This woman is in good shape at Denver's airport.
We're driving to airport going, oh, they're going to cancel it when we get there. But we made it. We did good.
AAA estimates more than 55 million Americans are traveling 50 miles or more this Thanksgiving, the second highest since 2000. CBS News Update, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back to the Bill Buckmaster Show, folks. This is your guest host, Ben Bueller Garcia of American Warrior Radio. We're broadcasting to you here in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We're going to change a little bit, but not too much. We're talking about Thanksgiving and what we should be thankful for. Joining us now in the seat across from me is Ted Maxwell. Ted is the president and CEO of the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. Ted, we're going to take it from the micro of saving the life of one teen on the street up real quick to the macro of our community. And just for our listeners who may not be familiar, Ted, tell them about the Southern Arizona Leadership Council and what your organization's mission is.
Well, Ben, first, I'm really excited about being on the radio with you today to talk about what we can be grateful for and thankful for and what we've got going on in the right direction here in Tucson as well. So often, Southern Arizona Leadership Council is a public policy organization. We represent 140 of the senior and executive business leaders and CEOs in our community. And what we try to do is we try to influence those who make the decisions that we think provides the groundwork and the basis for success, and particularly business success, opportunity success, and the ability for people to get the opportunity to work, to make better for themselves, but also for our whole community to achieve more. You know, if the business community is flourishing, guess what? The philanthropic community flourishes as well. So most often when I've been invited to come talk on the radio, we're talking about something about policy and something about there's one side and there's another. But today, being thankful about living in Tucson, you know, my background, as you know, is I moved here in 1999 and joined the Arizona Air National Guard. Thought I was going to be here for 5 years. I'd been in Phoenix before, thought Tucson was a quirky little town, you know, but hey, I can go there for 5 years and fly. And now I cannot imagine living anywhere but in Tucson. And a lot of that's because of our diversity. And I think that's something, yes, it creates political issues at times, but the fact of the matter is living in a diverse community like we do provides us so many different opportunities.
Now, Ted, it's no secret that Tucson faces some challenges, particularly the core, the, you know, within the city limits of Tucson. But you're right, and that's what I was hoping for today, is to pause and take a step back and say, even though, yeah, we got potholes and we could use more cops, and that's all, you know, that's another talk show. But we do have so much going on for us here in this community. And from your perspective, from that 30,000 foot level, working with the top policymakers and being on the inside, Ted, of some stuff that most of us may or may not be aware is coming down the line, things are moving in the right direction, right?
Oh, absolutely. All you have to do is look around. I mean, we can talk about some of the successes, you know, Amazon, Caterpillar, Raytheon's expansion. I mean, it was a significant victory for this community to have Raytheon expand by another 2,000, now another 1,000 on top of that employees. Those are high-wage jobs that it's going to bring opportunity here. And I think for the first time, we're also looking at expanding their supplier network. You know, we're going to go out and try to bring more companies into this region. Suncorridor is doing a great job. I think they've got a lot of things coming on. That airport can be a vibrant economic driver for us, but it's just an example of how things are moving in the right direction.
And you make a very good point. So often people who aren't involved in economic development, they see the 1,000 jobs at Raytheon, but they very often aren't thinking in three dimensions. It's those smaller suppliers. You got 10 employees here, 25 here, 50 there, and they tend to gravitate to where their largest customer is. And, you know, particularly I would guess, Ted, in places like Southern California now where regulations are just getting harder and harder and more burdensome on some of these small businesses, now might be a good time to then think about relocating to sunny Tucson, huh?
Oh, I think there's no doubt the state of Arizona, I mean, in particularly Maricopa, but even Tucson and Pima County have benefited from some of the businesses moving out of California, mm-hmm. as well as a lot of the citizens. We are growing at a rapid rate here in Arizona. There's only one state we actually lose residents to, and that's Texas. Texas is the only place that gets more Arizonans moving there than Texans moving to Arizona. But every other state in the nation, we have a positive migration flow on.
I don't see how that happens, Ted. I mean, both of us, Texas and Arizona, can tell Californians we actually will keep your electricity on.
That is a positive thing.
You talk about basics. I mean, I joke, but I mean that's a reality right now. They're facing. I mean, they're cutting off because of the fires and some other things. They're literally just turning the switch on hundreds of thousands of people and businesses.
California's got a lot of challenges ahead of them. And I grew up in LA, so that's home for me. And I still love going back out there. It's one of the reasons I love being in Tucson. I can get to the beach in California in a matter of 6 hours. There's so many things about this region that we should be thankful for. I mean, I've fallen in love with it because of the mm-hmm. diversity, the diversity of people, the diversity of climate. And yes, lack of snow helps. But but the fact of the matter is I can be at snow in 45 minutes by going up to Mount Lemmon. I can be skiing under 4 hours. And I can be on the beach in under 3 if I want to go down to Rocky Point, go to Mexico. I can do the things that I really enjoy here. And we've got those kind of opportunities. And I think that quality of life will be a big lever as we go forward in attracting more and more businesses, more and more opportunities. Yes, we've got to fix our roads. We've got to improve our education system and provide mm-hmm. a stronger workforce. But there are so many opportunities that we need to be grateful for in Tucson and in Pima County for us to grow and better our lives.
A lot of what you mentioned here, Ted, are things that we had nothing to do about. You know, we get snow on Mount Lemmon because God placed the mountains there. We got sunshine. We got beaches. Well, we got plenty of beach, just no ocean. But we've got ocean, a couple hours south of us. Let's talk, though, about the things that we do control, the man-made part of this. And that's it's an time of opportunity, I would like to hope. For the city of Tucson, we've got some new leadership coming in. We've got a new mayor and two new council members. What would you like to see out of this new administration to give us even more to be thankful for here in Tucson?
Well, I think there's a lot of good focus. If you look at some of the announcements and some of the new hires coming in to support a mayor-elect Romero as she takes office, you look at some of the focus of some of the council members. They understand that economic development and infrastructure is going to be critical. Now, I'll give Mayor Romero credit. She's stuck by her talking points, and the making this an environmental-friendly green economy is a big point to her. But her follow-up right behind it's economic development, followed right behind that with infrastructure. And that's what we need to provide that opportunity. SALC has long advocated for business growth and development and a vibrant economy in order to improve our quality of life. We've still got poverty levels that, mm-hmm. that are high. Yeah. We've still got homeless issues that we need to address. But the best way to help fix that is provide those folks the opportunity to improve their lives. We've got some incredibly strong philanthropic organizations in here, and you were just talking with Kim from Stand Up for Kids, and that they're doing a great job. What we want to do is make their job get smaller. You're never going to eliminate the need for the philanthropic community. The food bank run by Michael McDonald's a fabulous example. But if they can shorten the line, and they're going to shorten the line by us providing people the opportunity to succeed. And I think we're in a position with the migration out of California, businesses looking to come to Arizona, in a large part because of our tax policy and other support we give to businesses to let this area flourish as well.
You know, Ted, just saying we want, opportunities, we want jobs, we need a good economy. I mean, that's pretty all mom and apple pie kind of stuff. There's no question about that. Now, on my side of the family, everybody is either preachers or farmers. So I like to think of it in terms of we were conservationists. And I don't think having a healthy climate and having a healthy economy are two divergent things. It's not a zero-sum game. You can
Absolutely.
Have both. You just have to approach it in a measured, reasonable...
Absolutely. They both really
feed on themselves. They will both support what they do. It's just how you go about getting there. I mean, one of the big things we've got coming up is the reauthorization of the Regional Transportation Authority.
Yeah.
You know, because that shows and makes a statement that we are serious about improving the environment for businesses and people to flourish. It takes a long time to get from one side of Tucson to the other. I mean, I live up in Oro Valley, and Katie and I will joke when we're going to visit friends on the east sides that we're almost in El Paso. But that's we can improve that. I mean, we can improve that. There's opportunities, and I think the RTA is going to be one of those next critical things, and that the new governing body inside of Tucson's going to have a say in what goes in there and what happens, as will the county. But ultimately, that's a decision we as voters will have to take care of.
Folks, I've got a former two-star general pounding on the desk here in the studio. I think we're doing good. This is your host, guest host, Ben Bueller Garcia, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster here at 1030 The Voice, your trusted local news and talk. Give us a call, 520-790-2040, if you want to talk. We come back, I'm going to share something that Ted and I have in common, something I'm very thankful for, the men and women who protect us in our United States military. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture in captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort, all on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
A citizens committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is preparing to develop the next RTA plan. That's why members want your input on a survey of draft guiding principles they prepared. The principles will help guide them as they develop the next 20-year plan, which would be funded by a voter-required extension of the RTA's half-cent excise or sales tax. To take the survey or sign up to receive RTA notices, please visit www.rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back to the Bill Buckmaster Show, folks. This is not Bill. This is Ben Bueller Garcia, host of American Warrior Radio, sitting in for Bill. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3 hours east of Tucson, so much to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, like exploring the historic downtown Silver City or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. That was a kind of a nice transition, Ted, into, you know, we're talking about some great things folks can do right here in Tucson and things we're thankful for, we should be thankful for, and hopefully everybody will take a pause tomorrow and just pause and remember those things. Ted, I was last week, 10 days ago, I was in a hangar at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. There might have been 60, 70 people in the hangar. And I call him Sparky, General Croft, I should probably, the two-star general who's in charge of the 12th Air Force presented four medals, two Bronze Stars with Valor, two Air Force Commendation Medals with Valor, and a Purple Heart to four, in this case, young men for actions in Afghanistan. And Ted, I got to tell you, as a civilian standing in the back of that hangar underneath the wing of an aircraft, I could not be more filled with pride and gratitude that there are men and women like this out there. And I know that's one thing I want to emphasize that I'm thankful for, is that there are people who step up. You and I can enjoy our Thanksgiving with our family in peace and safety, because there's others out there who are not someplace with their family and not necessarily in a peaceful place.
And Ben, you're absolutely true. And it's, you know, obviously, with my military background, I'm incredibly proud of all the men and women that serve in our country. But remember, there's a lot of different services that go on that will not be around with their families, from our first responders who will be out there. It's incredible that they, you know, do what they do to protect us. And again, it's a tough environment for them now. But the military has a special place in my heart, and they do sacrifice. And the amazing thing is we still have a chance to be thankful for it to them. And we need to express that. I spoke at Ironwood Ridge High School the other day. They actually have a Veterans Heritage Project program, which is a phenomenal program where the students interview former members who have served, and they put it in a book that ends up in the Library of Congress. But the most amazing part is watching these young teenage kids hear these stories from these men and women who have served. And often they're stories that they didn't want to share even with their own families, but they were willing to share to somebody they didn't know who reached out and said, thank you for what you do. So I think it's important. And we're running out of time to thank all of our World War II veterans, even a lot of our Korean veterans. But the veteran that I try to thank every chance I get is the Vietnam veterans. Because while most of our veterans have received a nice welcome home, the Vietnam vets didn't always have that.
Yeah.
And for them, it really is, it's important for people to tell them, welcome home, thanks for what you did. And it was because how they handled themselves with style and elegance and grace when they got this either lack of welcome home or even worse in a lot of cases, that eventually our country realized, hey, I cannot like the war, but I need to honor the warrior.
Yeah.
And for my service, I started in 1980 and I didn't think there was any chance I'd be involved in any major conflicts. Obviously, everything's changed since then. But they made our life easy because I never over those years ever had anyone come up and question why I was in a uniform or why I was doing what I was doing. And that means a lot to our next generations.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or a comment and you'd like to add what your thanks are, feel free to give us a call, 520-790-2040. I'm talking with Ted Maxwell, who's the president and CEO of the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. He is also a young man, if I may say that, General, who invested, over 25 years.
Ted, and quick question, the young side of it. And I actually served 34 years in the active duty Air Force as well as full-time with the Arizona Air National Guard. But I honestly loved every minute of it. And what I really appreciate, and this is another thing that I'm extremely thankful for in this time, is in the last several years, I got to swear a lot of young men and women in to the service. And it is truly amazing to me, for all the criticism we have, and you know, in my boomer generation to the millennial and the Generation Z, and we still have men and women who are willing to put their hand up in the air and serve their country. And they know where when I came in, I didn't know if I'd see some potential hard times, action, or be deployed very much. They know that there's a high probability they're going, yet they're still willing to stand up for our country, our values, our democracy, all our freedoms, which sometimes I think we forget we've got, all of the things that make us, one, proud to be Americans, and we should be very thankful to be Americans at the same time.
Ted, I don't want to compare, but I would compare and contrast, as my mother would always say, that my mother, the English teacher, just like I know that Tucson's got a lot going for it, I know we could do a lot better. In my time here in the United States, it's certainly not the United States that I think I grew up in. I think there's some challenges and there's some things that I'd like to see. But that constant is what you mentioned there, and the fact that we really do, we can be thankful. I had a woman on the show just recently, Ted, who was flying Super Hornets over Afghanistan and Iraq. And she said, you know, the irony struck me that I'm flying a multi-million dollar aircraft over countries that don't even let their women drive cars. And just, it's those stark contrasts that remind us that we should be thankful and appreciative. Separate the war from the warrior. That's your right as an American, as a human being. But to be thankful and appreciative for folks that are out there protecting us. We have Paul called us here on 790-2040. Paul, you've got a question for General Maxwell, President Maxwell, CEO Maxwell. I don't know what to call you. For Ted.
Ted.
Go ahead,
Paul. Ted works best.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I was 27 years in Korea and Vietnam, and I don't let any of my young people go into service right now because too many of our politicians and our four-star generals don't let people know what the rules of engagement are, and that we're sending our 18, 19-year-old kids over there to fight people that are not even in uniform, and they can't fire until fired upon, and all this stuff about these young people with their legs being blown off. We have the possibility, we have the capability to detect all those IEDs, and we won't even spend the money to stop that insanity and let the boys come back with their legs missing.
Okay, Paul, thanks for your call. Ted, your comments. I did have, you know, it's interesting. I just did talk with the producers. There's a great documentary that just concluded called Leavenworth, examining the case of Lieutenant Clint Lawrence, who was, up until last week, serving a 20-year sentence for second-degree murder. He's now just been pardoned. But that comes back to Paul's question about the rules of engagement. It's not as clear as it was in, you know, Germany 1943, is it?
Well, Paul, first off, thank you for your service in Korea and Vietnam. I can't tell you how much that means to me. Rules of engagement are always a challenge. Over my time period, and, you know, I was a member of the military throughout both the Gulf Wars and through that stage, and the rules of engagement changed sporadically and quite often throughout the entire time period. And unfortunately, if you want to look at it this way, rules of engagement are political in nature and quite often. And it's something that as a military commander, airman, soldier, Marine, you have to understand those rules. I think we do a good job of explaining them to them. And I hesitate to tell people not to serve because we may or may not like the current rules of engagement because they're going to change again. And what makes me proud of the young men and women that are willing to serve is they're aware of this. They may not know the specifics, but they know that when they go in, they're going to be following the orders they receive and the orders from the military commanders and the orders from the civilian commanders because we structured that way in our country.
And they're going in with their eyes open. And again, that's absolutely something I never served. I never had to, thankfully, because of people like you and the others out there. I'm just profoundly grateful for that, not just because I do a radio show, but I do the show because I am grateful, Ben.
And Ben, you were on my list of things that I wanted to say I was thankful for because a lot of people don't realize all the support that you and others who have never served give to those who have, and whether it's the 9/11 Foundation, whether it's what you do out at the bases or with the Military Affairs Committee, it is the community that gives back to those that serve that means so much to the men and women who serve.
And, well, I hope you've got more because you got a whole minute left. What else are you thankful for? You're making me blush. So let's go. I mean, just community in general, you're optimistic. We've got a dynamic year coming
I think we do. I think we've got a lot of opportunity for growth, for business enhancement. The thing that I think we sometimes forget about is how much people already do philanthropically and give to charity. I mean, you've got the center of opportunity that's been opened by Humberto Lopez and his organization is just phenomenal for trying to help out. We've got great organizations, the Food Bank, I've mentioned, the United Way. There's so many people that give. And I think on the day of Thanksgiving, when we're thinking about what we are grateful for, we also need to think about what can we do to help those who do not have as much as we do or opportunities we have to enjoy their lives, make their lives better, and give for us to give back. Service is all about giving back. Some give back in the military. Some give back through other programs, Peace Corps.
Mm-hmm. Some give back through elected office. If they're doing it for the right reasons and we're giving back, we've got a great community to be thankful for.
Ted Maxwell, I'm thankful for you and for the other guests that have been here on Buckmaster. Ladies and gentlemen, again, Ben Bueller Garcia sitting in for Bill Buckmaster here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. You can find this podcast and all others at thebuckmastershow.com. This has been BBG sitting in for Bill here in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. From Laura and I, best wishes to all of you for a safe and happy Thanksgiving. Take care, Tucson.